At the beginning of this month, Bishop Daley released a letter that has gotten quite a bit of press, and you may have seen it on social media or on Catholic news websites, even maybe referenced in the Spokesman. For those of you who are unaware, Bishop wrote this letter on February 1st in response to confusion or turmoil in the Catholic world, or Catholics in the U.S., regarding the proliferation of abortion laws, very egregious laws promoting abortion, and the sad involvement of certain Catholic politicians in this process. And Bishop, speaking as the primary shepherd of the Catholic Church in Eastern Washington, wrote this key takeaway, which is really a reassertion of clear Catholic teaching and discipline. Quote, "Politicians who reside in the Catholic Diocese of Spokane and who obstinately persevere in their public support of abortion should not receive communion without being first reconciled to Christ and the Church." I've seen that in many quarters of the Catholic Church here in Spokane and across the diocese and even the nation, that these words, this letter, was met with positive response. This past Thursday, at the doors of the cathedral, after the novena service that Bishop Daley presided at, I saw multiple people personally thank him for his words. But there are others who respond in a more negative way, who may see that his words as hurtful because there is an implicit no regarding receiving communion. Some people may think of the words as legalistic because he cites canon law, namely Canon 915, and a letter from the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. However, I should clarify that what Bishop is speaking here, he is not invoking excommunication per se, which is its own penalty, its own specific sanction. And also, we should think that it's not about abortion per se either, even though the issue of abortion is the instigating incidence. Rather, Bishop's letter and this clear teaching of the Church is about integrity. Integrity in approaching the Eucharist, in approaching our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We can reflect more deeply on this Sunday about what it means to approach the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, because we have two figures in our readings today who responded strongly in the presence of the Lord. First, in our first reading today from the book of the prophet Isaiah, being overcome with his unworthiness, of his unclean lips, to be before the Lord. And also Peter, who saw the great catch of fish, this great miracle, and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Yet nevertheless, here we are, in the house of the Lord, many of us seeking to approach the Eucharist. How do we make sense of this? And I think a lot of emotions can be riled up with people talk about denying communion to people, denying communion to certain politicians or groups of people. And speaking personally, just as a priest, as someone called by God to reconcile people to Christ, to build up the Church, I did not become a priest to deny people communion, to have some power trip and say that, well, you're not worthy. And I imagine I would speak for Bishop Daley and the other priests as well, who are dedicated to building the kingdom of God. What we do desire, though, is for people to receive communion, to enact their communion in the Church, but to do it with integrity. And I think that is the key word for us today, integrity, of making sure that our actions reflect who we claim to be, and who we claim to be reflect who we are, what our relationships are truly like, and in this case, our relationship with Christ and his Church. Another situation where reception of communion may be a potentially awkward point is Catholic weddings or Catholic funerals. And priest celebrants are often have a pressure to quickly explain what is going on to our non-Catholic guests at these ceremonies. For myself, I've developed my own response to that, and if we pretend that we are at I'm at the altar having just consecrated the bread and the wine into the Blessed Sacrament during a wedding mass. I might say something to the effect of, in a few moments I will be offering communion to Catholics who are prepared to receive. I know that we have some non-Catholic guests, and we are glad that you're here to pray for this couple. But I do want to explain one quick thing, that for Catholics, we have a special belief about what we do when we receive communion, that it is a symbolic gesture for us to receive when we say that we are Catholic. We reaffirm our Catholic identity. So out of respect to those people of no faith or of a non-Catholic faith, we would not want to force you to make this gesture in which you declare that you are Catholic. But nevertheless, you are still welcome to come forward with your arms across your chest to receive a blessing instead. Different priests have different strategies to approach that particular pastoral situation. But I go with this approach because I think it very quickly, as quickly as I could, get to the heart of some real theological insights about the Eucharist. And these theological insights can allow us to understand why it is perfectly fine to not admit non-Catholics to communion when they're here worshiping with us at Mass or weddings or funerals, and also why it is important for Catholics who persist in a public disagreement with the Church to not proceed to communion. And the key idea is this, that communion is the culmination of initiation. As we may recall from our catechism, there are three sacraments of initiation: baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. And this pattern of initiation, this order of the sacraments, comes from ancient times. And in fact, we see it whenever we come to the Easter Vigil, when adults who have not yet been baptized seek to be Catholic. They first are washed in the waters of baptism. They are anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit through confirmation, which comes from the word confirmare, which means to strengthen, so that their faith is strengthened. And lastly, they are admitted to receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, to be fully initiated as Catholics, as members of his body. And we could think about this. Is there anything more that we can do after receiving the sacramental body and blood of Christ to be part of his body? No, there isn't. We can seek greater purification, greater conformity to his will, but sacramentally speaking, this is the fulfillment. And now we have to persevere in our life on earth and wait to have that fulfillment, that perfection of that union with God in heaven. Interestingly enough, the Eucharist is the one sacrament of initiation that is repeated. We are only baptized once. We are only confirmed once. But communion we are able to and are called to renew again and again. It is so important to renew our reception of communion that the Church says that it is a positive law or obligation upon Catholics to receive communion at least once a year. And hopefully for us, we are receiving weekly when we come to Mass on Sundays, or maybe even daily. Thus, when we receive the Eucharist, we are renewing our initiation into the body of Christ. It is that there is that ritual gesture in which we are truly communicating about what we have to say about ourselves, our sense of belonging, and how we wish to be part of the Church. When we receive communion, it is as if we are saying, I am Catholic. I am free of grave sin. I believe what the Church teaches, and I desire to live a Christian life, united in the body of Christ. And yes, we do say something with that action. And of course, we cannot forget how our Lord also acts by the power of that sacrament, how he bestows upon us his grace and his strength so that we can truly live out what we are declaring when we receive communion. Maybe a way for us to reflect about the gravity of what it is for us to receive communion is to ponder what baptized converts say before they become Catholic, those who are baptized in another Christian denomination. Before they can receive the Catholic sacraments, they make a profession of faith, and it is this: I believe and profess all that the Holy Catholic Church believes, teaches, and proclaims to be revealed by God. Can we, as practicing Catholics, be comfortable with that profession of faith when we go up to receive communion? Hopefully, that is so. So understanding this, we can see how there are times in which a person may go up to receive communion, but may do so without integrity. That they are expressing something, but what they're expressing does not align with reality. For instance, we've already discussed how someone who is non-Catholic would not be worshiping with integrity if they received Catholic communion, because they would be saying, "I am Catholic," when in fact they are not. Or we could think of when we do not fulfill the fast before communion, which is really not that big of an obligation, just 1 hour before the host touches our lips, right? If you go to a long enough Mass, you may not even have to fast before Mass. But to say that I believe that the Eucharist is of such importance that I will make a little sacrifice before I receive our Lord. Okay. And then we could get into some meatier stuff. Maybe someone may not go to communion because they recognize that there is a private mortal sin upon their soul, and they have not yet confessed it. To be in a state of mortal sin would be, and receiving communion would be a time when we are not receiving with integrity, right? And lastly, we can consider the situation that Bishop Daly refers to in his letter, for someone who obstinately perseveres in manifest grave sin, that is public sin, something that is out in the open, something that causes great scandal to the rest of the faithful. For someone to say that I am persisting in my belief or my actions that move me away from the communion of the church, but I will nevertheless take this action in which I say that I am part of the communion of the church. There is a lack of integrity there, truly a lack of honesty. And we do not want people to put themselves in that situation. At the same time, we can consider that there are moments in which someone may deny themselves communion when they are really giving themselves too hard of a time. For instance, instances of scrupulosity, where people may look at themselves and look at their little imperfections and their venial sins and say, "Well, I am not worthy." There is a reason why we say at every Mass, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. But only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." God invites us to this sacrament, and his mercy admits us to it, if we are humble to acknowledge our sinfulness and our need for his mercy. Sometimes there are people who do not go to communion because of the sins of their children or their associates, and think they are guilty by association because their grown children are not living the Catholic life. That is a sad situation, but the sin of the children or of the associates should not bar one from going to communion. And also there are some people who may misinterpret church teaching and say, "Well, because I was married and that marriage failed and I'm divorced, I've now been rejected by the church." And mind you, this person was not remarried, is living a single life, kind of grieving the loss of that marriage. That person has not been exiled. In all these situations, the key thing is to remember that God calls us to communion with his church, and that his priests, his ministers of mercy, are seeking to incorporate people into the body of Christ and for them to do that with integrity. So if you do have a pastoral question about where you stand relative to the church, if you're not sure where the line is with mortal sin and venial sin, speak with your priest, seek out confession, and know that our goal is to bring people to the Lord, not to turn them away. We see how St. Peter in the Gospel said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He had humility, an attitude of humility, that allowed himself to receive the mercy of God and his invitation. We see how Isaiah received this burning ember from the altar to purify his lips. Church fathers such as Cyril of Jerusalem speaks about how the ember can indicate spiritually receiving the host, receiving the Eucharist, purifying us with the fire of God's mercy. And whenever we come sacramentally to receive communion, we don't receive a burning ember, a tool of worship. We receive God himself. What a great awe it is to receive the Blessed Sacrament. So I encourage us to approach the Blessed Sacrament with humility and with reverence so that we may receive it and benefit from it, and receiving God's love and life be missioned, be sent forth, just as St. Peter and Isaiah were sent with their own missions. And in the meantime, let us also pray for those people who may struggle to receive the Eucharist with integrity, that God may touch their hearts and bring about conversion and changes in their lives, so that they may join us in receiving the body of Christ with integrity, being filled with the life of God, receiving a mission from Him to transform the world for the glory of the Lord.